The kid is a L7 weenie.
Yeah, Oscar Mayer even.
Footlong, Dodger dog, a weenie!
You've got your secret little appetite. Come out.
Yeah, there's one about like the first purge, which that probably didn't go over great with a lot of communities. They're like, you legalized what now? Yeah. That was the working title.
A lot of come again and protesting.
My friends and I in high school actually came up with an idea.
Crime Day.
we came up with Green Day. My friends and I came up with an idea of the Purge prequel, where it is, and they basically made this movie, it sounds like, but it's the Supreme Court debating, like, should we allow the Purge to happen? I don't know. It seems like it's an idea. It was called Justice Once.
Because there is one where they have like a Hillary Clinton type who's like,
I think she's trying to end the purge.
She's running on a platform of ending the purge.
and people there's are gonna like, be like pro.
No.
What was the impetus?
I'm a single issue voter, and that issue is there needs to be a purge. Yes.
What was the impetus for the purge?
I guess
I think it's some sort of like political commentary thing where it's like the rich people can pay to be safe, so it keeps the poor people poor. Like I think they're doing something like that.
Hmm. Yeah, I think.
Wait, so they're saying no cops is keeping poor people?
Well,
poor
I don't know if they're
than...
really doing that.
No, I mean, the Purge movies are not pro-Purge. I think that's important to point out. They're not like.
They're like, but what if we try it? I don't know.
They're not putting this forward as a good idea. It's a horror movie about what a bad idea.
Just because I'm a Hollywood producer doesn't mean I can't have good ideas.
Which is a great way to make a movie, is to come up with something fucked up that no one would ever do and be like, that would be bad. And everyone's like, well, yeah, I guess so. I guess it would be bad if someone made a human centipede. Good thing no one's doing that.
I would vote no on prop centipede.
What is making a movie though, but making a human he made a human centipede. It didn't exist in the world until he made the movie.
Sure, wow. You put the idea out there. It did some psychic damage to me as a young man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now it does exist. Our collective unconscious.
Yeah, you know what? Young says these archetypes have existed for forever. The human centipede was invented in 2008, though. That did not exist.
New. That's brand new.
Yeah. Some things are not ancient. Some things are, we just came up with them just recently.
Oh, so the peak of creativity was the human centipede.
I mean, there might be another one, but, you know, you can only put so many asses to mouths to make the centipede bigger.
Two, perhaps.
Interesting you went with centipede. There are so many worm-like,
technically,
millipedes.
It should technically be a human millipede.
You think it should be a human millipede?
Well, it should be because it has four legs per segment.
Okay, butt guy.
Hey, I'm sorry to bring out the entomology lessons, but here's a big plot hole I noticed in the Human Centipede movie I have never seen and never fucking will.
All right,
Joey brought his briefcase full of butterflies splayed out.
Dude, I hate that. You guys know I don't like bugs.
It's nasty.
The Milwaukee Public Museum always had a butterfly room, and it was so, first of all, so humid and gross.
They just land on you.
Yeah, look, I remember that.
They're fine if they're like hanging out. Like, I ain't got a problem seeing a butterfly in the wild. They're hardly bugging me, you know? You put me in a room just full of butterflies, that's like a saw trap to me.
Well,
that's
like I remember learning that they like taste of their feet or some shit, and then they land on you, and I'm like, it's licking me.
But when a dog does that, you love it.
I do love it. But that's because I put the peanut butter there. Hello, welcome to...
You don't get to do it.
I don't want
to
do it.
No, you don't get to do it.
You want
to
get me out of this, pal?
No.
I heard Cosmo do a little run at the intro earlier, and
you coming
I don't know.
At my throne?
Stop arching your fingers. Mm-hmm. It doesn't play on a podcast.
Can you hear my eyebrows waggle? Well, I'm just blinking.
those little caterpillars? Oh, yeah. We can hear those fuckers from space.
I always wanted to be one of those people that could, like, really... I can't separate them.
Yeah.
You know?
Do like a Dwayne wave.
My eyebrows are in a sidecar situation where one goes, the other follows.
The people's
eyebrow.
That's what Dwayne calls it.
Yeah, I guess so.
You think they could sever it for me? The way they cut your tongue.
Like an internal unibrow.
Oh, are you gonna have the surgery?
Yeah.
If I say the surgery, I'm talking about separating your eyebrows.
Adam's unibrow skin surgery.
Start a GoFundMe.
I want them to be able to do the wave.
Yeah, like Jack Black.
Can Jack Black do the wave?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh.
He does it in School of Rock.
I didn't know Jack Black was flirting with you so much.
I mean, look, we just have a very special friendship. That
I do feel like I have a
special relationship, like Britain and the United States. Cosmo and Jack Black.
I feel like I have a lot of emotions that I could express better if I, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just a well of complex emotions.
I think that there's can't so, be expressed I think there's so much you could mug. Be doing. I think there's so much that you could be doing without using your eyebrows here. There's so much more intonation. Facial movement.
I'm a dynamic speaker.
Did your voice crack? No, I feel sometimes I worry I'm not. I feel like so many times my friends will be like, yeah, we saw you like across the room, but you just looked miserable. I'd be like, I was having a nice little thought. I don't know.
You have a resting suicide face.
It seems like I do.
You just look like you're about to fucking die. People know you for smiling, but that's not the case at all.
Do people know me for smiling? What a crazy sentence. People know me for smiling?
All right, maybe that was not the thing I should have said. Based on your reaction, I'm gauging that was a I misstepped.
People always ask me, who's that Cheshire cat friend of yours? Who's that?
His smile leaves the room
before the trees. Your smile as we pass by.
Well, welcome everybody to the American Journal of Losers.
Yeah,
I got Cosmo No Mikos, the smiley boy, to my right.
Hello.
And to my left, Joe, you're done with that already.
You just downed a whiskey and made like a cowboy grimace face and put it back on the...
Got ginger beer in it. Yeah. I'm real hard. I think I'm going to just drink straight ginger beer. Did you say my name?
Yeah.
You were like somewhere far away drinking whiskey.
Once it touches his lips, he time warps back to... Well, look, I picture Joey in a diaper with a rattle and some arguments going on. Or
look, you guys get all fucking podcasts to sit back and wait to tell a joke while I'm talking. I gotta drive the dang train.
Yeah, yeah.
You're gonna drive the dang train. Make yourself another drink, pal.
Hey, pass me that.
This train?
Pass me that gingy beer back there.
Ain't taking no stops.
That's the best part about the train being on the tracks. The conductor can get fucking lit up.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's probably so easy to drive a train.
Hey, conductor don't need a steer. Yeah. Conductor's press stop and go.
Yeah, well, the big green button that says go, and he puts it with his foot while he's got two drinks in both hands.
I mean, it's mostly honking.
So what's a conductor? What's an engineer? Are there two guys? Is one stop, one's go? I don't know what other things are on a train.
Interesting.
One just rides along and goes like, you know how this is working, or do you just know how to make it go? he just condescendingly explains how it works.
Oh, the conductor's the guy who the man of action.
Mm-hmm.
The engineer's the man of faith.
Well, he waves his little baton to show the train how fast to drive.
One of my favorite homonyms in the English language that we do call those people conduct. It just has a vibe of like sandwich artist or something like that.
Mm. Yeah,
where it's like. Yeah, but it's kind of an art.
Yeah, is it a guy shoveling coal into a train? Like,
I always imagine that guy was pretty low status, but maybe that's...
Yeah, what do they call those?
That's the boss.
Orcs?
Irish. Yeah.
The Irish.
Those are called the Irish. Good old-fashioned racism against the mix. That's what you come to the American Journal.
Try and cancel us for it. Even try.
Yeah, what, are you Irish? I need not apply to our freaking podcast, dude. Italian racism's over. We're back to the Irish, baby.
Good old green.
Well, Joey.
Yeah, so this is, it's a podcast about losers and stuff. I have an addendum to our Papa John episode.
Ooh.
I don't know if you guys have heard about this one, but this man said the N-word on tape, and everyone got real upset about
it. People didn't like it.
People didn't like it. And he says a day of reckoning is coming. Now, super fan of the AJL, Aaron Klinger, sent me something immediately. The day that episode came out, early in the morning. I think he shoots shotguns those things at 6:30.
Should I keep releasing them early and earlier and seeing if he's waiting for it to drop?
Yeah.
He sends me, you missed something with huge at the end of Papa John. Vis-a-vis the day of reckoning. Now, I want to clarify... We need to have a special segment here. This is the red tape zone. This is the red string, because this is all conspiracy, unverified. We'll not share this as actual facts.
Okay.
Can you put like an anonymous filter on my voice while we're doing this part?
In 2020.
So Papa John says there's going to be a day of reckoning. Aaron sends me a series of screenshots.
Okay.
So Aaron's having an episode these days.
So the Day of Reckoning, he says, is, he says that on November 2019. He says that in 2019, and then Aaron sends me a bunch of screenshots from the New York Post, December of 2019. David Bauernfeind, Domino's Pizza CFO, dead and snorkeling incident.
See, I what? Yeah.
Sends me another article from nov.com. Former pastor Dojo Pizza owner sentenced to 65 years in child porn case. Sends me another one. Herman Cain death, July 30th, 2020. So there's strings being connected here.
Of the pizza dons kind of tapping.
I don't see how that is at all what Papa John was saying was going to happen.
Well, I get it a little bit.
You think Papa John was? Do you think Papa John killed Herman Cain, who famously died of COVID?
I think he created the coronavirus. I don't know what happened there, but
so, okay, incredible. I like the red tape zone. This is fun space to play in.
Yeah, now we can just say whatever.
Who is Herman Cain, though? I'll be honest. I thought that was a politician.
He was.
He owned Godfather's Pizza.
Oh. Which is a big chain places I've never lived.
That's the thing. You really have to stretch. It's not like the Pizza Hut. It's not like Pizza the Hut himself was murdered.
Yeah.
Famously. Well, he did. I don't know if that was a suicide. I'm supposed to believe that Pizza the Hut ate himself to death. Yeah, right.
So we got Papa John's, Papa Murphy's, God Papa. Okay. There's more fathers in this game than we knew.
Yeah.
Pizza is a paternal food. I don't know what to tell you, man.
Wow. Well, thank you, Aaron, for really putting us to ease.
Yeah, opening Pandora's pizza box.
Thank you for destroying the credibility of our podcast as an academic source, which, of course, you should never, ever use.
Of course. Well, okay. Well, now that we've been wrong, or I guess not been incomplete in our telling.
I guess you could call that a correction.
Yeah.
A correction. Actually, Papa John is a part of a global cabal murdering pizza.
And you have Aaron running in with an actually on our...
What is the snorkeling incident? Did someone just drop marbles down the snorkel?
Went too low, got full of water. That's the only incident I can think of that could happen in snorkeling.
Yeah.
You're so close to the surface, right?
Right. It's not like your trunks are getting snagged on coral.
Interesting.
Well, you're not even down there. Aren't you? I thought you were just like floating.
If you're good, you can kind of go down.
Well, that's not snorkeling, right? Because your tube is poking out of the water.
Well, people snorkel and then they dive and then come back up.
Oh.
Because they just can't freaking keep their hands off of the
Yeah, they just have the to goods. Be submerged.
You gotta get closer. Then fucking buy a scuba tank. Idiot. If you want to see the good stuff, you got to pay the price.
Yes. Oh, I'll be kind of in the water.
Just a jaded fucking scuba instructor. Snorkeling instructor.
He's losing all his business to snorkeling.
Snorkelers are the window shoppers of the sea.
Oh, don't get me started on these glass bottom boat motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how I hate these assholes. All right, guys. You want to do a loser today or something?
Yeah, let me see what you got.
I'd love to hear a loser.
All right. I want you to picture this, all right? You got the big job. You got a huge new job, right?
Okay. Wife's happy.
wife loves it.
Oh, wife happy.
Kids don't get it, but they're stoked. They read on my face that I'm excited. Yeah. And they go, I think that means toys.
This is going to be a big one for you. Everyone's excited. Everyone's congratulating you, shaking your hand. You got a big party to celebrate it, right? I got so many new ideas for what to do with the company here, right? You're in charge of everything, you know? 31 days later, you're dead in the fucking ground.
Oh.
Because you're the 9th president of the United States, William Henry Harrison. Okay. Baby.
All right.
All right. Big
episode 9, president 9.
Bill Hanky Harrison. the man himself.
Billy Hanks, the guy.
Bill Hank.
Can you work in the term dirt nap? This episode?
Oh, yeah, I like that. It's kind of a little extra additional challenge to myself.
Uh-huh. A little underground sneak.
Joey's been on record as saying, this podcast isn't challenging enough. Yeah. I feel like I'm growing.
We did 8 episodes, and I was like, I think I know how to do this.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
I'm going to need some restrictions for myself. Yeah. I need to do this with my hands tied behind my back. I need to do it not looking at notes.
Joey emailed Mark Maron and said, this is all you do? Made how much off a?
I do feel that way listening to Mark Maron. No, I'm like, there's a lot of something else happening here.
You're just kind of like, yeah, that kind of reminds me of a thing that I did. It's like, well, I'm not listening for you, Mark.
Well, that's a great time to bring up. In the special presidential episode, we have a very special guest, Barack. I'm not baiting an impression. Don't you even.
I was waiting for it.
I was moments from doing it.
Oh, no.
Hazlitt's mouth was moving in such a beautiful, hesitant way of like, does anyone got a good president inside of them?
Hey, it's me, Barack.
Did you know Mark Maron actually just did Barack?
Wait, is Mark Maron just doing voices? Because now I'm impressed.
That's hilarious.
That Gallagher interview is so much cooler now.
Have you seen that guy who does that on live radio? He'll have like four characters having a conversation. It's actually like, in an episode of
like we're
Maron.
Here with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Christopher Walken.
I mean, it would be better if he was doing less over-the-plate impressions.
Yeah. I don't think they're like impressions as much as his characters, but he'll have like a five-way conversation and it's just him.
Oh.
Anyway.
It'd be great if you knew this guy's name.
Yeah, we'll drop it in the show notes. Okay. You can find it out.
Oh, in the show notes. Okay. Here's three Wikipedia pages about William Henry Harrison and a fun improv guy.
Thinking of.
What about references and then referenced?
Oh, that's fun.
There you go.
We're talking about the guy. You guys, I think Cosmo, you and I have had a conversation about William Henry Harrison at some point.
Yeah, he died.
He died.
He died quick.
That's okay.
How long into the hang was this? You guys really scraping the barrel?
There was one like weird drunk night after an open mic that like everyone left and me and him just got hammered and talked about presidents for like
I was like,
too long.
We like had a mutual love of presidential trivia, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I know. That's you're right.
No, you're right.
I didn't say anything.
But I know.
But it was in there. How do we start these again? Okay, William Henry Harrison, 9th president of the United States, born in 1773. Fucking old
geezer.
As shit, dude.
Geezer.
He's the last president to be born not an American citizen in that sense.
Okay.
Because
America
was just 13 brave little stars about to fight against the evil king. His dad was Benjamin Harrison V, who signed the Declaration of Independence. Like he's
one of these guys.
He's in from birth, you know.
Sure.
He's not the sixth because he's got an older brother, but like, yeah, he's a guy.
Oh, you can name multiple kids. It doesn't have to be a generational third, fourth, fifth.
It does, like, but George Foreman. Yeah. Did he do? Aren't they all just named George Foreman? Are they numbered or no?
I don't. I think they have different middle names. I don't know.
Oh yeah, George Foreman named all of his sons George Foreman,
and his daughters like Georgina and Georgette.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
damn.
Unfortunate.
I hope that his whatever woman he was cursing with these children.
Yeah,
got a little bit of a say in that.
Also, the Army Hammers.
Oh,
I learned. You guys taught me about the.
I Adam had no knowledge of Army Hammer.
And I can't stop bringing it up now.
It's troublesome.
And I tap people on the shoulder at Starbucks and go, "Hey, did you hear about
that?" No wonder he eats people. His family's crazy.
Libel. We don't know if this is true. We don't know if this is true.
You're right. He probably doesn't.
I love her. I so love that there is now a crazy internet conspiracy theory about celebrities eating people. And then we find a celebrity who maybe does eat people. Like, and the QAnon people are like, no, that's not a part of it.
I know.
That's a weird sex thing. We're talking about everyone in the cast of Friends goes to child eating parties.
Oh, they just dismiss that?
I don't know.
Okay. This grown man who's like texting like a teenager. He's like, ooh, I like to eat people. I'm so embarrassed. Like he literally, that's like how he's texting this stuff. And
he does have the vibes of like the kid who would like kind of prowl around and be like, I'm a vampire. Like, I'm a cannibal. Like,
no, you just wear a cape to seventh grade.
Right, I think the QAnon people know this. I think they recognize a fake cannibal, but they see Lisa Kudrow and they're like, she's eating people.
Yeah. I can see. If it has to be a cat.
She's eating hours of our lives. And parts of our heart we'll never get back.
Yeah. You're talking Cougar Town guest star Lisa Kudrow.
I think Lisa Kudrow is the only one of the cast of Friends who's never eaten a person.
Too gamey.
Phoebe would never.
I don't know.
Not our Phoebe. Okay.
Okay. I had enough. You don't want me to do it?
Nope.
Okay.
You good.
All right, fine. I'll keep talking about this stupid old president. Yeah, so he's like a rich kid. He's born in Virginia. He's like boarding school kid, learning about, you know, gets sent away to learn
about. Bet he fences.
Yeah, probably. He gets sent away to learn about like logic and French and classics.
I love that you threw French in there. It's like a fucking kill me.
Well, just the idea that people would be like, well, learning French, I guess, makes sense.
Yeah, it's like a people's language.
I guess I just hate people learning Latin and logic.
Yeah.
I just, when I hear that I learned Latin and logic in school, I'm like, how did you, come on, man.
Yeah.
There had to be so many things that you weren't learning if they were like, erit est.
I know. I barely managed to get out with like reading comprehension without this like extracurricular
people
stuff.
People are always saying like, why didn't they teach us how to do taxes in school? It's like, they probably tried. It's hard to learn these things.
Yeah. That's fair. I took 4 years of Spanish and didn't test out of any of it. Yeah. It was a real sad.
That's me too. It's like 5 years without a goddamn lick to show for it.
Well, the butterflies really lapped you up on that field trip.
Yeah.
All right. So he goes to University of Pennsylvania to study medicine, but then his dad dies.
Dr. President?
Doctor. He's not. He does not get a okay. doctorate.
And he was only studying medicine to save his father from it.
Ironic.
To find the fountain of youth in med school.
Yeah. So he's studying medicine, but then at age 18, his dad dies and he finds out that he was left nothing in the will, which I'm sure is a gross exaggeration of what's happened, because when his mother dies, he does get like a 500-acre estate and dozens of slaves.
Yeah, he was just given like...
But like, you know, he doesn't... It's the inheritance that he's getting from his father's immediate death isn't what he thinks it is, so he decides the army is a safer choice for him.
Oh, okay. So safer? Wait,
I guess more secure now, is that?
Wait, so his mom was still alive?
The mom was still alive, but, you know, a woman. And that's a real check mark against you in 1770s.
Yeah, I forgot.
He's just walking around in the army just going, just shoot me. I don't even fucking...
I just have a stupid rich mom. You're a cool dad.
Right. So he, in the army, he is stationed in the Wild West, which at that time was Ohio.
Whoa. Exotic state of. That is so funny to think about.
I never considered it from this point, but there was literally just like at this time in American history, it was just like, we're going crazy. I heard this guy went to Indiana. That guy's a madman. He's like, he knows the plane.
Yeah.
He went to Gary. Yeah,
and robbed a train.
So he's stationed up in the he becomes like a lieutenant. He's not like a he does well in the army, which you do when you're the son of a founding father.
He got good marks at army.
He did real well at army. In fact, he fights in a war up there. There's the Northwest.
Which only the good soldiers get to do.
Hey, you get to come do a war.
You graduated to war. Yeah.
He fights in the Northwest Indian War, which is the United States. A war is a generous thing. War is a generous thing to call when an indigenous population is striving to take back what has been claimed.
It is crazy, too, though, that there are just like wars that... America's like 300 years old, and there's wars that we've already forgotten about. It's like,
hey, every war I'm going to mention today is going to be like, I think I've heard that one. Yeah.
How many Indian wars, quote unquote, have there been?
I mean, I don't know. There's definitely a lot of them. A lot of them.
Any big front, like a front against Native American, like that's got to be quite a hefty.
Yeah, well, I think what makes this a war more than just the regular genocide of the natives is that there was the Northwest Indian League, which was like the Potawatomi, the Ojibwa, I have a whole list, Cherokee is in there as well, Iroquois. They're all like banding together, and these are like disparate tribes who are like, we gotta do something about these white guys. And it didn't go out well for them, but it did go well for William Henry Harrison.
Oh, really... thank God. Sometimes the good guys win, huh? Jesus.
Yeah, so he does okay. And while he's in the army is when he meets his wife, Anna, who I want to mention her. Oh, it's so sweet.
Wait, what was she doing?
She was a British expat who was living in North Bend, Ohio, which is named after the North Bend of the river.
How do people in the army meet? Are they just balls? I guess what do they do?
Yeah, that's a great
ice
question.
Ice cream social?
Yeah, I guess probably just
when war's on your home turf. I think, and by that I mean someone else's turf.
Turf your ceiling.
Yeah, exactly. Anna's father does not approve of their marriage.
which that's funny because, like, on paper, he's, like, from a wealthy family, like successful in the military.
Right.
He must have just, like,
he's just, like, a dick. Yeah. That's the vibe I absolutely get about William Henry Harrison, is that maybe he was just not cool. He was 22, so, like, you know, whatever, but... they elope behind her father's back.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and then when the father confronts them about it, he's like, how are you gonna provide for this family with your freaking army money and your acreage and slaves in Virginia? And Harrison responds, by my sword and by my own right arm, sir.
Okay, so far, very cool guy, not a loser.
That sounds... Is he threatening him there? I read that as a threat. I read that as, like, he's like, how are you going to provide? He's like, how about this fucking fist provides, bro?
Oh, I read it as him just being like... Like, my sword will get me everything we need.
I'm gonna loot corpses like an RPG character.
Yeah.
He and Anna have 10 kids, by the way, and she's frequently unwell. I think because
tummy ache.
Is that what you call pregnancy?
Yeah.
the long tummy ache.
I think when your husband is just like incessantly knocking you up, you probably are like, yeah, I'm feeling a little under the weather these days. So that's his family life. We'll get back to her in a second.
And what spread are these kids? What time span?
Ooh.
I gotta know. Anytime someone talks about having a lot of kids, I gotta know. Gotta know how quick.
I bet it was a little bit longer because, you know, they're together for a good while. But maybe it was a cheaper by the dozen situation and they had a lot of adventure, a lot too many kids in the house.
Well, was it the kind of thing where it's like you have a bunch because half of them die and then, none of them die and you're like, fuck.
Yeah, at what point after, if it's the past, pretend it's the past, imagine it's the past, close your eyes. There's a rustle in the wind, and then you see God is there, and he hands you a cup of coffee.
Sir, this is huge.
If it's the past, how long?
He gave you a big cup of coffee, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Great cup of Joe, enormous. Anyway, what do you want?
How long do you wait to hedge your bets on kids dying?
Wait, if I see God?
No, shut up.
What are you talking about?
That was a bit I was doing. Everyone forget about it.
Yeah, okay. Gone.
Once they make it 4 years, I think they're fine.
I would think so, but, you know, maybe you're just like, let's put another one in there just to be safe.
Do you think that's how he alluded to having sex? And be like, hey, honey, let's go hedge our bets.
Yeah. The kids are looking awfully vulnerable.
Is that a cough?
Yeah.
Honey, I'm ready.
I'm home. Is that...
So once he graduates from army, he stays in the Northwest Territory. It was called the Northwestern Territories at the time. That was like Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois.
Adorable.
Yeah, so cute. They're like, this is as far northwest as we'll ever go.
Yeah, as the world goes.
He stays in the Northwestern Territories and becomes just kind of like a well-known businessman. He's got a horse breeding farm. I'm assuming the horses.
Man, this guy breeds horses. He breeds his wife. This guy.
He's potent.
He's virile.
Yeah,
virile. But anyway, so he gets, he's known. And also, he's the son of a fucking founding father. So, of course, he gets appointed, not elected. That's how it was at the time.
He gets appointed president?
He gets appointed to Congress. We got 40 years before the presidency. Yeah. This is the 1800s,
yeah,
Phil.
Okay.
He gets appointed to like a non-voting member of Congress. He's doing all this stuff. And then from there, he works his way into... So the Northwest Territory gets split into Ohio and Indiana Territory. He gets to become the governor of an Indiana Territory.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty good for a guy with no money.
If someone offered you governor of Indiana today, would you...
No.
Would you take it? No, right?
It doesn't seem that valuable, I guess. I don't... Like, it's just like... Yeah, it's not a great state, but it's not like there's a lot you can do to improve it, you know?
Yeah, you're kind of as is.
Sadly, Indiana is mostly doing its best.
Yeah,
that's
it's
just
doing
like,
as fine as it might do.
Those are the cards it's been dealt. It is a horrible. The governors are horrible there, so maybe.
Where's the groundhog from?
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Punxsutawney.
Yeah, sorry, Indiana.
Yeah, another L for you, huh?
Okay, so here's some things that are important to know about his governorship. Number one, loves slavery.
Oh, okay.
Can't get enough of that stuff.
It was all the rage at the time.
Right, well, in the North, it was still... slavery in those territories was very much taboo, even fucking Thomas Jefferson was like, well, we gotta cool it on all the slaves. We can't bring them into new territories.
Interesting.
And as the governor, he's like, slaves, get them here now. Thomas Jefferson actually starts. This is a weird thing that I think. First of all, that Thomas Jefferson was like, I gotta stop slavery.
Yeah, I mean, he was
in this one specific way. He starts funding churches to be built in Indiana, like anti-slavery churches, so more people would be opposed to slavery.
Oh. Okay. What kind of church? This was a divide in,
you know.
I think it must have been churches that, like, the practitioners there were, you know, abolitionists. Like,
not even abolitionists, even, you know. A lot of people, I think, opposed slavery back then because they were just, you could kind of oppose slavery and still be a racist.
Oh, for sure.
Where you're just like, well, I just don't want anything around me at all.
Right. Anything.
Okay. I didn't want to say
I know what you mean.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he loves slavery. The other thing is he's negotiating a lot with the tribes, the native tribes. He makes, dozens and dozens of deals. And if I dare say, based on what happens next, he does a pretty bad job of this.
Ah.
Of what? Honoring them?
Or of making these treaties. So
he's getting, traded out of all of his good Pokemon cards?
No. The big thing he did was he would make a treaty with one tribe and then call it a day. When there were so many tribes around there.
Understand. That sounds like how I work. I mean, honestly, 10 a.m. and
I'll be honest, it does sound like you'd be a bad governor of the Indiana Territory in 1806. What? I've always said this about you.
I'm just saying, I like this guy more because he just wanted to fuck off the rest of the day.
Yeah, totally. He's real.
Like an early lunch.
He's real likable. Anyways, he basically makes a land grab claim with the Miami tribe, Pitbull's people, and that's not great.
No, stand by it.
He makes a claim, and then after that, he's like, "Well, job well done." And then all the other tribes that are on that land are like, "You didn't make deals with us." He was like, "Yeah, we got you guys."
Don't you think
you're all kind of the same?
He's like looking at his notes, like, "Oh, I don't."
So this is where. There's a Shawnee chief named Tecumseh. Maybe you've heard of him. Kind of a big deal. Cool guy. Starts leading this coalition of multiple tribes. And he and his brother, who's like a prophet, have this whole like religious zealot thing going on where they're like, we are all united by the Great Spirit. We're going to kill these fucking whiteys. So they start like building this huge coalition of multiple tribes coming at him, and eventually there's like this fucking showdown at Harrison's place in Indiana where they're like, hey, you gotta damn. Fuck off.
Hot dog, okay.
I dig it. I didn't you threw me a little bit with the prophet thing. Were there a lot of like prophets in
you can have a prophet anywhere, maybe.
Well, I know that. Especially if you know how to wheel and deal.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Anyways, this is all leading up to the Battle of Tippecanoe. Important for
God. It's probably so awful, but that's such a silly name. Oh, God, that makes it hard.
It is. It's funny that it's not named after canoes.
No, yeah.
It's like some bastardization of like a word for a type of fish.
Okay, because it makes it sound like the Native Americans were in canoes.
It sounds like there was a river where they were like, oh!
Sneaky little settlers were tipping, ha-ha. Look at that.
Right,
fucking so pantsing him.
After Tecumseh does a big fuck you to William Henry Harrison, he gets permission from the Secretary of War to just lead an army. He's not even a general. He's the governor, and he gets the permission to lead an army against a native group.
Wow, okay. Dear God.
And they're just going up there to intimidate them, supposedly, just to be like, ooh, big, look at kind how, of mad dog them a little bit.
Look how big and pointy our muskets are.
Yeah, we got guns with swords on
them.
Yeah,
it takes us all afternoon to shoot this one time.
Just go out there to pump iron in the yard.
Yeah, they're just taking their shirts off, walking around.
Tattooing each other. Drinking and smoking.
But this does lead to the natives retaliate, and there's a huge bloody battle where actually there's more losses on the Indiana side than on the native side, but it's considered a decisive victory for Harrison.
Oh, just because they outnumbered them so much, probably.
I guess so. And they just get the land, and this is like, it becomes his thing. Like, everybody knows about William Henry Harrison. This is what gets him able to run for president later, is that everyone's heard of the bravery of William Henry Harrison, old Tippecanoe.
Okay.
Just getting named after the battle he won.
Yeah, the genocide he committed.
Yeah, exactly. So he continues as the governor. He does step back to do the War of 1812, which we all know so much about that war that I'm not even going to get into.
We can just skip past that.
We can just skip
past. Hey, I can tell you exactly when it happened.
I actually kind of have a conspiracy about that, but...
Oh, hey. Like, hey, man, this is the time. Red tape... Oh, red tape zone?
Yeah, red tape zone. Okay. The War of 1812 actually happened in 1814.
I do think it went into the 1814.
No, it started then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't in 1812
Yeah,
at all.
Modern calendars have...
Oh, boy.
Red tape over.
Red tape done.
Back to our normal, non-distorted voices.
It's not red tape, also.
It should be red string. Yeah, red tape
yarn.
Red yarn. Red tape is like bureaucratic.
Yeah.
All right. So,
which it sounds like he did not face when waging war.
No. They were right this way, sir.
Actually, in the War of 1812, he did end up having some problems with the higher-ups. I guess he was like, let me do another march and kill more Indians. And they were like, no, you got to do better.
Yeah.
I don't know,
yeah.
But he doesn't serve all through the war. That kind of becomes a thing that people attack him for in the campaigns. But guess what? He fucking won. So,
yeah,
you know,
so maybe more of a winner, actually.
All right. We're going to skip ahead 20 years.
Cool.
But none of those years are important.
Nothing.
He's hanging out. Nah. He's being a politician. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. This working kids come.
9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Work. Montage right there.
It's a montage of him owning slaves, yeah, potentially working. Having children by a slave woman.
It'll kill you if you let it.
And so he's a member of the Whig Party,
Okay.
Just the opposition party of the Democratic Party at the time, who are their stances. So the Democrats are like very cool with slavery. The Whigs have this cool new stance where they don't talk about it. That's their new thing. Mm. So in 1836, Martin Van Buren, the Democrat, is the president. People like this guy at this time, right? The Whigs are like, well, we don't stand a fucking chance against Martin Van Buren. We're going to run 4 candidates for office.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's no concept of splitting your own vote.
Yeah. They just wanted to make it so that Martin Van Buren couldn't get a majority so that Congress would have to make an electoral decision.
Yeah.
But also the Democrats controlled Congress. So this plan makes no sense.
But also the splitting your own vote would still hurt that.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, man, I don't know what they were fucking thinking.
Okay.
You could try to explain this to me, but I'm pretty sure they were just like, let's just try to toss some spaghetti out there.
Let's have a bunch of guys.
Yeah. William Henry Harrison is one of those guys. He is the northern candidate who is anti-slavery. That's in heavy quotes right there because he owns slaves.
Yeah, because
I think maybe at this point.
What if he hates himself a little bit?
I think at this
point. Yeah, I own slaves, but like, I'm a piece of shit.
I've been trying
to. That seems to be what so many of the founding fathers were doing. Thomas Jefferson especially. Yes. There seems to be some weird thing where they're like, oh, I just wish I could quit owning slaves.
If Twitter was around back then, they'd just tweet, I'm the worst, LOL.
But he did sell his slaves to his brother at some point. So good guy. Good guy.
I love he's like, well, see, I don't have them.
We're like passing someone's hat under the table.
Yeah, I don't got them.
Yeah, so obviously he loses that one. But then there's a much bigger, better election that we gotta talk about in 1840. Okay, here's the good shit. Sorry for boring you guys with all that Indian wars and yada yada slavery shit. Let's talk about the birth of the modern fucking political campaign.
Yes.
Because this.
That's interesting.
All right, well, there's some stuff.
I believe it.
It's okay.
I didn't want you to pull back like that.
Well, if you don't think we're excited, let me try and rephrase it. Hey, Joey, put it in a little ice cream cone and feed it to me like a goat at the petting zoo.
This is where that...
That sounds like an enthusiastic guy.
Yeah,
right?
He says
this is where that. Hey, here's where my those impression. Intonations and eyebrow movements would really be helping Adam a little bit more.
I got to stop wearing this Reagan mask. You guys can't see all the cool Jim Carrey like faces I'm making under
here. Dude, when we knocked over that bank earlier, I thought we were all gonna take our president mask off.
Yeah.
Well, it's just
but you kept yours on because you said it felt you said
more like yourself.
Yeah. He said, this is the most I feel like me.
Well, and usually when someone wears a Reagan mask for robbery, it's like to hide their identity. You wear it so often that people just already associate it with
I'm
you.
I'm the Reagan guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's just so fun to stick your tongue out the mouth hole.
Yeah, it's very off-putting. Yeah. Yeah, those tellers did not like it.
Among other things that we were doing.
Yeah.
Knocking over a bank for
robbery.
Robbery. So the trick to winning the election of 1840 is after 1836, just don't stop campaigning.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Oh.
Yeah, just kind of keep
putting. I feel like we're kind of seeing that again a little, right?
This is what I'm saying. Back before this, so one big thing is that there were like 12 guys that could vote for the first 100 years of the United States.
Wait, was it really, it didn't just start with all white men able to vote?
There was a property ownership thing in most states for a while, I think.
I don't want to say that makes sense.
And even when that ends, the turnouts were just like, who gives the shit? So yeah. Like, you know, if you're some fucking farmer, you're not going to bother to vote for the president.
Well, because it's hard. Right. It was hard to vote. There's no infrastructure for it. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's why I guess that's why the Tuesday thing, why all our elections are on a Tuesday still.
Why is that?
I don't really understand it. It's kind of like, to me, it's kind of like daylight savings time where you can explain it as much as you want to me, but the logic will never really add up.
It's just like Mardi Gras. This is Fat Tuesday. It's fun.
Yeah. I mean, the election always has to be 100 days after Lent.
Yeah. They count which president got the most beads.
But Andrew Jackson kind of has a big like populist campaign because he's like a well-known war hero, but that's, you know, a couple decades before. William Henry Harrison is like, I got an idea. What if the presidential election was a bunch of guys hanging out and having fun? And this is the first time where like...
The invention of the podcast?
What's up, Harrisons? Harrison fucketeers?
I mean, President Joe Rogan, by the time this comes out, President Joe Rogan.
Yeah. By the time this comes out, this is coming out in 9 days. What is happening?
The movement is growing, yeah, brother.
Quick.
So Adam knows about something huge.
I'll never tell.
So I guess this is relevant because of what we were talking about earlier. Even though three of his adult children had died during this time.
Okay, as adults they died though.
Yeah, they made it pretty far. All right. I bet he was like, well, those are fine.
Yeah.
Those guys have gotten out of the gate.
He would have had more if he knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta have 10 out there. Gotta sow the field, you know.
That's the you gotta have 10 kids. It's the metric system.
Yeah.
All Europeans have 10 kids. We 10 only
kids.
Have
five wives.
Two and a half?
And here every two and a half kids equals one son. Uh-huh. It's kind of confusing, but it's based on the king's children.
I see.
But yeah, he keeps pushing himself. He's like, I'm the Whig guy. I'm going to be the Whig candidate. Nobody worry about it. And even though that has some resistance from like the party structure itself, he has enough popular support that he gets the nomination in 1839.
He beat the guy that's like, I'm the bald cap.
He beats candidate. Like, so he's kind of more of an outsider than the other guys. He's, you know, he is a politician, but he's not like one of the party guys. Like right. Henry Clay sure. would be the party guy.
And people already were annoyed with the party guy. I mean, I get it, but like I'm
60
surprised.
60 years into presidents.
You're like this. Yeah.
This guy's too old school.
Yeah,
old school Whig party for us.
Yeah. Like, I think that's old school Whig party. Not these cool new modern
yeah,
Whigs.
Yeah, dude.
Wigs yeah, with a fucking H in
it's
there.
A pompadour like Elvis had.
It's cool, it's hot, the kids love it.
Yeah.
So he's more of the outsider. He gets the nomination regardless. One op-ed writes about him like, don't give. Oh, another important thing, sorry, I guess I should have led with this. Motherfucker's 67 years old when he takes
Wow.
He was the oldest guy until Reagan, who was also beat by Biden later. But that, I fucking don't understand that.
It is funny that the geezer prez died immediately.
Yeah. And we were just like, well, younger than that. But all the other presidents have been over 50.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just like, I don't want to do a new job after 50, dude.
No.
I'm not ready for
a new chapter
of my life at 67.
Dear God, no.
It sounds awful.
The hardest chapter.
You better be removing elements of my life at that age.
Becoming president is the most psychopathic thing a person does.
It's rough.
It's just gross. Anyways, somebody writes of him, this old geezer president run for president, like, don't give this guy the freaking nomination. Just give him a pension and a log cabin to sip cider in.
That sounds delightful.
It does to me. Well, the three of us know the pure joys of drinking in a cabin with the boys.
Absolutely.
But William Henry Harrison, he turns that into like, that's my thing now.
I'm the log cabin cider guy.
So that's like the imagery of the campaign, is that there's these huge rallies and people are drinking hard cider and there's like log cabins everywhere, little fucking playhouses.
Okay.
That becomes like his thing.
That's kind of fun. It's like a president you could have a beer with.
It is exactly that type of thing. Even though the fact is like, so log cabins at the time, people weren't living in fucking log cabins anymore. That's like ancient history.
So are they kind of...
People had built and vacated log cabins already?
Mm-hmm.
What year is this?
1840.
So is this kind of like a return to we like the old ways.
And it's very similar to like this kind of this is just simple Americana. We love log cabins here. And also important to point out, he was not like a log cabin guy. He was a rich kid.
Yeah.
Right.
He was like a little trust fund baby, but they used it campaigning against Martin Van Buren. They were like, Martin Van Buren, this freaking elitist. He's not a cool, chill guy like William Henry Harrison, son of Benjamin Harrison the V. His dad has a 5 in his name.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's like an OG, man.
People with numbers in their name aren't like new guys. Like a new fresh take on a guy.
So
like,
it's this snobs versus slobs thing that they're really going down on.
Sure.
Tale as old as time.
There's this one cheer they did that I just... Old Tip, he wore a homespun coat. He had no rough shirt. Wort, wort. But Matt, that's Martin Van Buren. Matt is short for Martin there.
Okay.
But Matt, he has the golden plate and he's a little squirt. Wort, wort.
This word wort business.
That's wort,
wort. Yeah, so wort, wort was very popular at the time.
Just saying it?
I guess
it was so. It was popular.
The whole world
I guess it's kind of like dabbing or going like, now would be like going, sheesh.
Okay.
It was just like the popular thing to say
it's
at
like
the
cool
time.
TikTok phrases.
I guess so.
It sounds like a minion thing, like a little sort of like
the reaction Adams had when you made it was like he had been like touch something hot. Like,
it's quite off putting.
Off putting.
Wort wort.
You know what's another? What's another phrase?
Joey maybe also sold it more than they did.
But it's another cool phrase that everybody loved back then. New phrase that everyone loved to say. People love to say keep the ball rolling.
This okay.
The same way we use it today.
Say it,
but they were using it to be like, this is a grassroots movement. Keep the ball rolling. Tell your friends about William Henry Harrison, whatever. And to illustrate this, they made a big fucking ball and rolled it from town to town.
Yeah.
How big is the ball?
It's like 10, 20, 10, 15.
Yeah, it's big ass ball.
How close are these towns?
It's taking up a full road.
It's like the east, but you know. Yeah, it's got to be big. I've always thought of this is the thing that's always captured my imagination is like, that had to be the most exciting thing in anybody's life.
A big rock rolling
through
your
town.
You would
be like 60 years old and be like, remember when there was a big ball? Like, that was the best thing that ever happened to you. There was no entertainment hadn't even been invented yet.
Dude, balls rule. Kids get it.
Yeah, I mean,
you can throw them, you can roll them, you can kick them.
You ever catch one jumping into a pool? Best thing you'll ever do.
Yeah.
Best thing anyone can do with their life.
Yeah. It's primal.
People want to be president. How about you just catch a football jumping into a pool?
Just the idea of people like leaving their houses and standing on the streets just to applaud a big ball rolling down the street.
The reason dog is man's best friend is it's the only other animal that likes to catch a ball jumping into a pool.
Yeah.
That's...
We really connect on that level.
We have more. We have so much. A guy saw a wolf do that one time and was like, we may have more in common with these creatures than we think. Perhaps we needn't be foes. There's also, I mean, it's just such a birth of modern day electoralism because he also was using catchphrases and theme songs.
Theme songs?
Famously.
What, in the newspaper?
No, it's just like sung at the rallies.
He mailed people those little, what do you call those things that spin up?
Those
and...
like pianola scrolls?
Yeah.
No, famously, the song Tippy Canoe and Tyler, too. John Tyler was his vice president.
John Tyler.
He's there. And the song is about how
John
he's...
Tyler, that is a name.
John Tyler.
From 150 years later.
I think I pledged a frat with John Tyler. Tippy Canoe and Tyler, too. famous song. People used to, it used to get people pumped at the rallies. Song of the Summer. Here's just one of the 12 verses of Tippi Canoe and Tyler 2.
Wait, should I pour some shots for this?
What's the cause of this commotion, motion, our country through?
One time.
It does feel like there was like 100 years where they didn't know they could sing like in their register. It had to be like so
This
high.
Was to hype people up?
Yeah.
If you played this at someone's funeral today, I'd be like, okay, this
a
is appropriate.
Much. No, yeah, a I bit mean, much, like, honestly. This was their version of Pokemon Go to the polls.
So that's Tippi Canoe and Tyler 2. And with... and with them we'll beat Little Van is a used up man.
Oh, I love
that's fun.
I love how they get around
the younger
rhyming.
Guy's a used up man. Incredible.
They might be Giants did a version of it. I'll out myself for knowing it. Just yeah. I just already having heard that song.
Maybe we'll add that at the end. Steal music that
steal music. Some of their great music. Yeah, so this is big. He wins the 1840 election considerably.
Wow. How many people did it take back then to win the election?
he got almost 1,000.
I was literally going to guess 1,000.
Actually, if you give me a second, I bet I could get you a good number.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 26.
26,000?
Yes. Okay. No, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, if I actually had to guess, that feels like a good guess. I'm going to say 26,001. Price is right.
I got percentage, but I can't get... I really wish I could get
number. Yeah, fair enough.
It'd be hard to... I'd have to maybe...
Look up the population.
Maybe we could... Maybe
you'd have to crunch... You'd have to put on your little green visor and crunch the numbers.
I mean, it's also... It's the popular vote. It's not the population, you know?
Maybe, right. Maybe I can go like, he got exactly... and then you can just drop it in right there.
If it's really funny. Yeah. I hope it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll never know.
No one will ever know. No. Lost to the sands of time.
Wow.
Is this what anthropologists do?
They guess how many votes.
Dig up the numbers.
I don't think that's anthropology.
No. Well, it's fun to study like civilizations that were so connected right up to what we're, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, we're trying to dig through my grandma's shit to find out how many...
Yeah. What did the modern woman do 40 years ago?
You're taking, like, a little rock chipper to your grandma's old fucking...
Her caked on fucking...
Once we get through her peanut brittle, I think there's some documents under there.
All right, so... There's what is maybe a historical myth? You know, it's the popular conception is that... William Henry Harrison spoke for so long at his inauguration that he got pneumonia and died... I don't know how true that really could be because his inauguration is a full like 2 weeks before he ever catches ill, but he does have a 1 hour and 40 minute inaugural speech, the longest in presidential history.
Was this kind of like a joke of like, he got pneumonia because he spoke? So, I mean,
it might've been a joke. Can I read you guys the second fucking paragraph of this guy's speech?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll give you a gist of why it maybe was so long.
And then I was the president, and everyone thought it was
then
cool.
I turned two.
It was the remark of a Roman consul in an early period of that celebrated republic that a most striking contrast was observable in the conduct of candidates for offices of power and trust before and after obtaining them, they seldom carrying out in the latter case the pledges and promises made in the former. However much the world has improved in many respects since the lapse of time of the last 2,000 years since the remark was made by the respects of the...
I feel like someone opened a can of paint thinner on the table. I am dizzy.
Everyone was like, please let him die.
He took so long to be like, you know, some of these politicians don't live to the hype.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, which is funny to imagine that like he's having all these rallies and people are real excited. Like the common man is real into William Henry Harrison. And then he's like, you know, the Roman consuls, when they, in the course of human events.
Yeah, do they never let him talk until now? He's like, I've had a lot on my mind, actually.
Okay, so he's president for 30 days. What happens during that presidency? He makes some cabinet appointments. hangs out a little bit. Yeah. He likes to go to the market, which is maybe how he got pneumonia.
I imagine he wasn't feeling great in that. Well, you said that it took him 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So before, he catches it and dies in like 14 days?
Or
like
he gets sick on March 26th. Days? March 26th is his first symptoms, and that speech is on March 4th. So,
damn,
like,
okay.
So, like, the idea that he gets it from that is like, okay, maybe.
Were they outside? Is that part of it?
Like, yes, okay. It was like rainy, I believe. Okay.
Yeah, it was like a cold day in DC.
Okay.
And he just would not shut the fuck up.
He just like was really trying to prove something.
It's rainy and cold, everyone's miserable.
I mean, but he's, maybe other people also died from that inauguration. Maybe someone fucking killed themselves right there. Be like, he mentions another Roman consul. I'm gonna fucking blow my brain
out. Is possible that they think he died from it because like a lot of people died there that day.
Another casualty of the inauguration. Yeah. His presidency is nothing to scoff at. He's often ranked very low of the loser presidents, which is the list of how I will be approaching presidents for this show.
Well, it's funny because it feels like, did he muck a bunch of, like, did he do a bad job in those 20 days?
He kind of didn't do
did
much
get
of
to
anything.
Do any?
Of course.
He called a special session of Congress was one notable thing, but like, I don't know, that was just to get his buddies together to hang out, I think.
Slam some brews the game.
Yeah, actually, speaking of slamming some brews, March 26th, the day that his doctor's like, you need to rest, this could be bad, he's like, yeah totally, I do got some army buddies coming over tonight though, and I haven't seen the boys in a little bit.
Yeah, my aunt already made dip.
I mean, it's helpful that, you know, he got to see them one last time.
Oh, good.
Because
for him.
By the next day, he had to bow out of a cabinet meeting being like, I'm feeling a little sleepy, gang.
Hey, I think I'm going to die soon.
Hey, fam, I'm going to need some bleaches on my body ASAP.
Wow. And then he ducked out of that meeting.
He did.
Ducked out of this mortal coil.
I mean, we've all skipped work a day after a night out. You know?
sure. I bet that was the scuttlebutt around town. Although, I think people do find out. So he dies. He dies about 4 days after that, eight days after that diagnosis. It's noticed that Sunday that he's not in either of the two churches that he attended in D.C. I don't know why this guy was doing double headers every
doubling
weekend.
Doubling up, dude?
He's like, I like things about both of these.
That's so much church.
That's a lot of church. You got to really like church to double up like that. I guess if you're in your 60s, though, that's what you do. Huh?
Or if you want to like switch churches, but you're too much of a coward to like, you know what I mean? Like part of me is like, if I switch therapists, I feel like I got to still occasionally talk to the old one. I don't want to.
That is not true at all.
I don't want to tell him I graduated him, but I'm like, all right, we're just.
I like that you consider it a graduation.
He's been helpful, but you know, at a certain point, it's like, yeah, all right, I kind of.
Yeah, the teachers become the master. The students become the master.
Yeah, most of my decisions are him talking about his life to me.
Yeah,
that's not appropriate. So people notice that he's not there. He's getting treated by doctors in the 1840s, which is just like. Every description of medical practice in the 1840s reminds me of when I break something and just make it so much worse trying to fix it.
We're just like, okay, twist it the other way.
Here's a list. Here's a short list. He was, they did bloodletting. They administered Ipecac, castor oil, mustard plasters, and they finished it off with a boiled mixture of petroleum and Virginia snake roots.
Huh, and it wasn't any of
that. It didn't work.
What was the last one? A boiled
mixture of petroleum
and he
Virginia
drank it.
Snake root, sounds like it.
Or maybe he like gargled with it or some shit. It's hard to drinking petroleum's rough on your system. I have to imagine.
Yeah,
he's the son of an abusive oil tycoon.
Yeah, who made me clean my plate before I go to bed.
Yeah, William Henry Harrison.
Are you gonna drink that crude Cosmo?
William Henry Harrison was our only president to die of doing a jackass stunt.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. Get that fucking snake root.
I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah. So that motherfucker dies.
Blah.
He's dead.
Blah, blah.
He's out. Big old everyone. This is the first president to die, too. He's number 9. So that happened before. Bad vibes all around. Everyone's like, damn, that hasn't happened before. They don't really know how to have the vice president step in. They kind of just have to improv it a little bit. And then his wife, Anna, which why I bring it up earlier, is Anna actually had not moved out to D.C. with him yet. Anna was feeling unwell because of her 10 pregnancies.
Yeah, I can
presumably
see that
ended it a little bit ago, but you know, who knows?
She's probably up in age now.
She was packing for DC when she heard the news about her husband.
Wow.
Yeah. And Congress John Tyler issue her a $25,000 pension, which presumably is like...
That's a ton of money.
It's a ton. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money back then. Presumably is like bereavement pay and also just like what he would have gotten if he were in office for 4 years.
Yeah.
What was the pay? I know it's stopped at like 200,000, right?
I have no idea what a president makes.
I think it's 200,000.
But it's not enough for the hard work that they do.
Certainly around that.
Hey, gang, we need to get our presidents a raise. I need these guys to be working.
Look, hey, much Trump like the cops, maybe if we pay the president more, he'll have our interests in mind.
Trump didn't even take his salary.
Yeah, Trump never touched one of his Tonight Show paychecks.
Well, how's he affording all these classic cars? It doesn't make sense.
Also, they awarded Anna Harrison with free postage for life.
Now that's where she
that's where she makes the money.
If you ever want to really get in good, marry a guy who is president for 31 days.
I love the idea of her being like, I can start a drop shipping business. I can save all the money I want.
Damn
it. Just go with it. Oh yeah, you can screw it on.
All right, there's one more thing. William Henry Harrison's legacy exists mostly in the fact that he died real soon, right?
I get that.
The campaign stuff. It's, you know, yeah, you get famous for dying sometimes. What can you do? In the 1930s, Ripley's Believe It or Not actually pointed out an interesting pattern that had happened that they dubbed the Curse of Tippecanoe, which is that the presidents elected in years divisible by 20 all died in office. So, in order, from William Henry Harrison, who was the first to die in office, elected in 1840. 1860 is Lincoln.
Yeah.
1880, Garfield, also assassinated. 1900, McKinley, also assassinated. Yeah. 1920 is Harding, who dies of a heart attack right when he's embroiled in scandal. 1930, Ripley's Believe It or Not is like, check out this cool thing, Believe It or Not. Wacka wacka.
You're like, thank you, Ripley.
Thank you.
I guess this is why you exist for some reason.
Sage as ever, Ripley.
Yeah. I don't feel like we need you and Guinness, but you guys could settle
that. To be fair, my biggest problem with Guinness is there's not enough like hands in jars or whatever, webbed feet.
Yeah, big gross, spooky stuff.
That's what's funny about Ripley's is it's not about records. It's just about like,
whoa.
Check this out. Yeah. Whoa.
Nasty, right?
Ripley's must be coming. This cannot be the last time you'll be hearing about Ripley's on the American Journal of Losers, dude. We should just be a Ripley's Believe It or Not podcast. Yeah. Honestly, those guys really got some wacky shit. So 1930, they point this out. And then the pattern continues after they point it out. 1940, FDR dies in office, and they're like, see?
Well, at the time they point this out, there's... Wait, when did they put this?
There's five. There's five because it's 1820 to 1920. Not even five, right? Yeah, 1840. Yeah, there's five. Okay, anyways. Yeah, they pointed out after five. And then we get two more because we get FDR and then JFK blown away. What else do I have to say? So the Ripley's is really feeling themselves for predicting this pattern.
They're like, huh.
And the only one who breaks it is Ronald Reagan, who doesn't die in office, does die later of Alzheimer's that kind of started while he was in office, but... There was one time when a promising young man named John Hinckley Jr. did try to keep that pattern going, but it didn't really. And people wanted to count that one. People were like, "He got it. He tried to take his life,
but he didn't die in office. We don't got to count him.
He shouldn't count. George W. Bush didn't die in office. He didn't even dead yet.
Yeah,
they threw a grenade at him and it didn't go off. I don't think that man will ever die.
Yeah, I think it was just a shoe, wasn't it?
There was a different incident.
Oh.
Someone threw a grenade at. You know what was so funny is the George Bush assassination attempt, the grenade thing. He was with the president of another country, and I think he was like secondary target. I think he was like, I wish I could remember what it was.
I would love it if they killed Bush first.
Well, no, as in like they were trying to kill the president of their country.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, American president's there too. Two birds, one grenade.
That would be wild if he found out like Biden died in the assassination attempt of like the Botswanan president.
Barack almost died in the assassination of Mark Maron. People don't know that.
Someone does have to take him out, man.
So many threats against Mark Maron.
And Barrage won't keep you safe forever.
I mean, not to get too into our people listening for coded messages in our podcast bullshit again, but Joseph Robinette Biden was elected in 2020. So
88.
We're due for
interesting.
We're due for the old curse of the Tippecanoe.
I was born in 88. Didn't you say that was a weird Q number?
Oh. That's a Nazi number.
Yeah, it's a Nazi number.
Oh, sorry.
Please do not confuse the Qs with the Nazis. Yeah,
right, our righteous brothers with.
But yeah, we'll see what happens with Joseph Robinette Biden. Wow. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
January 6th.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, fuck. If Joe Biden dies because someone listened to this, fucking take me to a court of law. What are you going to do?
Yeah. If I made it happen, awesome.
I mean, fine. Yeah. I wouldn't be that sad.
Nah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for introducing that loser, Joey. That's incredible. And I mean,
thank you for thanking me at the end of every episode. I think that's a really important part of our show.
I think it is.
You're welcome for thanking you.
This podcast spans overseas, but it originated right here in the Midwest, where we use our P's and our T's.
Yeah. Oh, we dot our I's.
With little hearts.
Little hearts.
Well, thank you for listening, everybody. Follow us on social media. Rate us on iTunes.
Twitter and Instagram. Check them out. I'm tweeting all the dang time.
Find us on Bumbler.
Bumbler.
On PayPal, Cash App.
Check out our original streaming series on Poopy. Poopy Premium. Okay. I mean, AJL Live.
Okay, that's a little publication we're starting.
But most importantly, take care of yourselves out there. If it's a cold day, wear a coat. And
if it's a hot day, leave that coat at home.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, now you know the rules of coats. Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right, guys.